And I appreciate the opportunity. So I want to talk tonight about something that's very near and dear to my heart. We are all called to preach the gospel, to spread the word, to get people saved, and to do the works that Jesus did. But I find that a lot of people are afraid to do that. Now, Jesus, we know, was going, you can see in different places like Matthew 23 or 4:23 and Matthew 9:35. They're real similar. I'll read it to you. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So he was teaching, preaching, and healing. And we're to do the same works that Jesus did, to be teaching, preaching, and healing. And John chapter 14, verse 12, you know, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. We are to be doing the works that Jesus did. Now, a lot of people, Christians, know that, but they shy away from actually doing those works. They might talk to people, often they don't. They back away. They're supposed to be praying for the sick, and they know that, but they back away. And oftentimes, I think that's because they have a lack of understanding. They don't really know that it's God's will to heal. I would presume that, I don't know how long people have been coming, but that you know it is God's will for us to walk in health. Well, we can know that. Another area that people are often lacking, and I say this because people you minister to are not going to know. Like, we were in church for years, and we were not taught any of that. It was God's will for us to be sick and all that sort of thing. And when people are coming from that mindset, then we need to understand that so that we can talk to them in a different fashion and help them to understand that it is God's will for us to walk in health. But so we can know that. We can know our authority and understand the authority we have and still not pray for people. And I think it's because we too often have our eyes on ourselves. We're embarrassed. We're shy. We think we're not going to know what to say. What if it doesn't work? But all the focus is on what we're doing and what we're able to do. And a lot of Christians will think, I don't know if I have the faith to do that. I see they're hurting. I'd like to pray for them, but I don't know if my faith is there. But to me, the focus is wrong. The focus is on ourselves. And that's where the problem lies. The healing's not ours. We're not doing the healing. It's God's work and God's healing. And when we're focusing on ourselves, we're missing out on what God is trying to do for those people and how he's trying to bless them. So what I want to talk tonight about is some things that I have just noticed in the ministry that God has given me of maybe steps or tips or ideas, thoughts, things that I have noticed are very important to do to see success in healing consistently. Because again, a lot of people will back away thinking, well, what if they're not healed? But that's really not our thing. When we learn to trust God, the healing power is there. So I just wanted to talk about some of those things tonight, because I know that you guys are being trained. Excuse me, and I hope that you are praying for people in the grocery store, praying for them in the bank, praying for them in the gas station, and wherever you are, because there are opportunities all around you. There are sick people all around you. And I find that if you walk into a grocery store and you ask God, is there anyone here you need me to minister to? You will see people. He'll pinpoint people. Your attention will be drawn to someone. And all you have to do is entrust him, go over, start up the conversation, and you don't even have to know what to say because the words just come out, and you minister to them, and they walk away healed, saved, delivered, whatever. It should be a constant, consistent, daily thing with us. I truly believe that. And it's not just for someone who's called to it, because we are all called to it. So the very first thing is, when someone says, will you pray for me, or will you go and pray for me, is to listen to God. I get calls all the time, will you go and pray for so-and-so? Or the church will call and say, will you go pray for this person? Will you go over there? Will you go there? The first thing I do is check with God. for various reasons. Maybe I'm not the right person to go. I'm a woman. Maybe this is to a man who absolutely does not respect women, is mad at women. Well, maybe I'm not the right person to go then. If he's not going to listen to anything I say and not receive, then we're wasting our time. So I go to God first and ask, is this a person essentially assigned to me? You could see it as that. But then I also always ask God to fill my mouth. There's a scripture in Psalm 81, verse 10, where God is saying, you open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And so that is always my request to the Father, is that as I open my mouth, that he fill it with his words. And then I always give the Holy Spirit permission to move however he sees fit. Because again, it's not our thing. This is God's. And so giving him that permission. The second thing, excuse me, got a frog. The second thing to do is to listen to God. Because what you're going to do when you go and meet with the person, you're talking to someone, is I will listen very carefully to the person, what they are saying, and simultaneously to God. Because as they're talking, the Holy Spirit will pinpoint different areas where their thinking is wrong, their doctrine is off, and that's what's keeping them from receiving what God has for them. And I'll even take pen and paper with me. I will jot down things that I realize, okay, that's wrong thinking, that's false doctrine, this needs correcting, so that we can get them then in line with God's will and his purpose. So the second thing is to listen to the person and listen to God simultaneously, because then you know what areas to touch on. Then I always take the time to teach. Unless it's sometimes there are situations where you can't. But I try and take the time to teach. And in fact, if I'm asked to go over to someone's house, I will request that they give me 3 hours. And I will teach them the word, different areas like God's will, our authority. I think our thoughts are extremely important, and the importance of our words. And just cover different areas, and like I said, areas where they were off base, to get them lined up with truth. And then the next thing you do is listen to God. There's a pattern here. Listen to God, because we don't know what to do. We can guess. And too many people, when someone says, for example, my back's hurting, will you pray for me? What is the automatic Christian response? We grab their hands and start praying for the back. We're leaning on our own understanding when we do that. Now we've taken God's work and we're taking over. We know it's his will, and we take over, though, with our own thoughts. And that's why we often, I believe, do not see the results that we're looking for. In fact, I'll share this. When I first started understanding these things about healing, I wanted to pray for everyone. And I even would see someone on the street with the white cane walking along. I'd pull my car over, jump out, and go pray for him. And I thought, God, I don't understand. Why was Jesus always asking you? He only did what you showed him to do. He only spoke what you told him to speak. I know what your will is. I don't get the connection here. And he gave me this picture, or like a picture story, you could say. And he said, it's like a good king who loves his people and wants to do everything for them. So when someone comes to the door with a request, the servant goes to the door knowing the king wants to answer that request. But the servant goes to the door, gets the request, takes it to the king to see how the king wants to answer it. And that made total sense to me. We are the servant. The king wants the people healed. And as the servant, we don't know how he wants it done. And that's why we're constantly listening to him to see what the next step is, what he wants done. Because it's his healing, and we get then his way on how to do it. So the next step, surprisingly enough, is to listen to God, to wait on God. See, it's taking all the pressure off of us. It's God's healing anyway. So what I will do is I was going to see if I missed something here. I have the people not pray while I'm praying. They've probably already been praying for weeks, months, whatever. But to focus on God, for them to get their thoughts on God. We are serving a big God, and I will encourage them in that. It says that heaven is God's throne, not just some little seat, but heaven is God's throne. This is a big God we're serving. And for them to just focus on this big God, and then while they're doing that, I will just be praising the Lord, but I'm hooking up in the Spirit to hear how the Father wants his healing to take place. And be listening, focused on that. And I will typically pray in tongues. Now, if it's someone where I sense they're not used to this, tongues is foreign, and it's going to sidetrack them or derail them, and now they're going to be thinking, what is this? Is this some demonic thing? Well, now you've lost them. So if I sense this is something new to them, either as I feel led, I might just not pray in tongues. Or I might say, God has given us a prayer language, and I'm just going to pray in that language to connect with him and hear what he wants to do. And then they're fine. But for us, it is a good connection. So I will typically pray in tongues while they're just getting this big picture. But you don't do anything until you get the leading. We're not touching them. We're not taking authority. We're not praying for them until we know what God wants to do. And I think that's the key of seeing nearly 100% people healed, is because then it's totally God's thing. So another thing is to, when you're hooking up in the Spirit, is disregard everyone else around you. Because sometimes people are thinking, everyone's watching. Well, forget that. You're connecting with the Father because the Father has business to do. And if you're not hearing something immediately as to what you're to do, and it feels like the crowd's getting kind of uncomfortable, that's happened now and then. And what I'll just do is I'll pause and just say, we're waiting to hear what the Lord wants to do. And then they just relax. Oh, okay, that's it. Because otherwise it's like, why isn't she praying? Why isn't anything happening? But again, we have to, other than that, to maybe put them at ease, we're not paying attention to anyone else. We're listening to God. Now, he might give you a sense or a leading that you're going to take authority. But even there, we don't just jump on it and start taking authority. You wait until he says, now. You get the sense, the urgency, take it now. And you're not necessarily going to know all the words, but you'll know the direction that you're going to take. But if you're listening like that and staying connected, the words that you're going to speak, the authority you're taking, are going to be the words he's giving you. So maybe you take authority, and then you listen, because you're probably not through. And there, too, you're still not touching them. You're waiting until you're led. And you might sense, like I'll often see a little picture, I might see my hand, me putting my hand on the person's shoulder or their head or whatever. But I wait until I have that sense, do it now. It's almost like there's a building up, and you know, do it now. Because that's when the power flows. We even did this, we had a speaker in that was doing this little experiment once, not experiment, but making a point, I guess. And he had someone being prayed for. Everyone else was to gather around. Well, they did the typical laying on of hands, prayed for him, nothing happened. And then he said the same thing, actually. He said, now wait until you know you're supposed to put your hand on. And when they did that, boy, the power was there and the man was healed. So I think this is where we're often missing it, is we're in a pattern. This is what we do when we pray for people. We grab their hands, we open our mouths, or some people always take authority, whatever. I think patterning is very dangerous. Jesus did only what the Father told him to do. He spoke what the Father told him to speak. And we should do no less. So we're listening. So again, until you know now is the time to put your hand on, don't do it. There have even been a couple of times where God has said, don't touch him. Don't put your hand on him. And I think that's very important, because like one, there was a 12-year-old girl in Madagascar. We had to walk up the mountain, down the mountain, through the valley, up the mountain, down the mountain, through the valley, over this remote village. And I had taught, I was praying for people, and this 12-year-old girl had stomach pain, back pain, and neck pain. And God said, don't touch her. Her faith has made her whole. So I just talked to her about faith. I had her confess a couple things and then, you know, test everything, move everything. And all the pain was gone. She was completely healed. And I said, I didn't touch you. It was your faith that healed you. And I think that is so key because I'm going to be gone. I leave. If she gets sick again, she knows my faith healed me before. It will work again. Someone else in the village gets sick, she knows she can pray for them and they'll be healed. But if we're in a pattern and we just do our own thing and take over, we could mess things up. We could hinder a call that's on someone's lives. But we're leaning on our own understanding, and we're told not to do that anyway. So to me, that's very key. Another example of this, of making assumptions, leaning on our own understanding, I had been called to a man who was dying of brain cancer. The pastor was there, all the elders had come together, and the man. So I taught them all the things about the word, and then when I went to pray for him, I was listening, and what I saw was for me to put my hand on the left side of his chest. And I thought, well, that's interesting, he's got brain cancer. So I did that, and I could feel him taking breaths, and I started to move my hand to put on his head, leaning on my own understanding, and God said, put it back. So I put my hand back, and I could feel him taking these deep breaths. And so I said, tell me what's going on. And he said, oh, my lung hurt so badly, I was afraid with every breath I was taking. Well, 3 weeks later, the pastor called me and said, I want you to know this man who had lung cancer, not brain cancer, like I somehow thought. I don't know how I got that message. But he had lung cancer. And see, here's where the patterning or our assumption, I would have been praying away for this brain cancer, and the guy and everyone in the room would have been thinking, what is she doing? See, we have to listen to God. He knows. And the other thing is, too, he can tell you other things that are going on. Maybe they're in fear. Maybe it's something else that needs to be dealt with first. Well, we don't know that. They haven't revealed that. But God knows, and he knows what's going to help them out, and not just for the moment, but for their life. And that's, again, why it's so important to be listening. So this man who had had lung cancer was back at work. He had been on hospice. They'd given him less than a week to live. He was back at work. He had flown on a plane, which you don't do if you have lung issues, flown on a plane to the Green Bay Packers game, and he'd been up on the mountain skiing. He was completely healed. But see, I would have been praying for his brain cancer. So we listen to God. So after you've done all that, maybe you've taken authority, maybe you've prayed for healing, you wait on God. Because maybe there's more. We need to get the word of the Lord. You know when Abram was told about being a father of many nations? Isaac wasn't even born yet. And it took many, many years for him to become a father of many nations. But God said, I have made you. When God speaks, it's done. It's settled. It's accomplished. So if we will wait and get his word, which is alive and full and powerful, or like John 6:63, the words that I speak are spirit in their life, we want those words of life that we are speaking to people and not just our own words. So if we're waiting on God, then we get his word that we're speaking, and now it's accomplished. See, again, it's not our responsibility. And that's why putting our eyes on ourselves is messing up the whole works. If we're letting God do his thing and we're getting his word and his power is flowing, all the pressure's off of us. And it makes it easy to pray for other people. We just get to be the connection between God and the person. We're like the UPS driver. We're just delivering the package. But we don't have to make the package, manufacture it, wrap it up. We're just delivering. And Luke 4:32 says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." We want to get God's word that we're speaking. You might be led to pray over a prayer cloth because sometimes the person's not there. Sometimes even when they're there, that you're to send it home with them. But I have seen so many astounding miracles take place with prayer cloths. Maybe you're led to do that. That's fine. But it's the same thing. If you're going to pray over a prayer cloth, don't lean on your own understanding. Even there, wait on the Lord. Get his word. What are you to say? Are you taking authority? Are you just releasing power? So the whole key is, what does God want done? We're listening to him, waiting on him. And even at this point of it, don't unhook, listen to God. Because maybe there's more. To me, it's very important that people act on the prayer. Too many times, people are prayed for, especially if there's a big lineup, and then there's no response to it. So they go home in the same condition that they came because they're still thinking the same way and they still see themselves the same way. So it's very important to have them act on it. But there too, God will tell you what they need to do to act on it. And if you're not getting anything, sometimes I don't see anything in particular that they're supposed to do. And so I will just ask them, what is God showing you to do? Or what do you feel comfortable doing at this point? Because sometimes if they've maybe broken a bone and you're telling them to get up and stand on that broken bone, you could be in trouble. So I might say, what are you comfortable doing? And then it's their responsibility. But it's very important to encourage them and to be listening to God. What are they supposed to do now in response to the prayer? What is their response? Because too often, like I said, if they don't do anything, they go home thinking they're still sick. I've had many, many people, well, I almost always, well, probably always am having people respond in some way. If it's internal, they may just, I may have them just praise the Lord. But do something where you are saying, thank you, Lord, I receive it, it's mine, yahoo. Stroke victims, it's been really interesting, almost consistently, they maybe can't move an arm, can't move arm and leg, and after the prayer, I will say, now throw your arm in the air. And they look at me and say, I can't. And I said, well, you can now. Oh, I can. See, they still see themselves as unable to do it. But by having them act on it, you're getting them to no longer think naturally, but to think spiritually. And now they're hooking up with what God has already accomplished. Otherwise, the healing power can be there and the work accomplished, but they don't recognize it, so they're not actually receiving it. So acting on the prayer is very important. Something I will add, because you're a church setting, what I've seen is that sometimes maybe a person is being prayed for, and it was a prayer of faith. There have been times where I'm just at the point where I'm going to have them act on it, and someone else that's standing around starts praying. What was just prayed? And I think that's prideful. It's like, I can pray too. Well, if it was a prayer of faith, it was done, what it does is it confuses the recipient. It's like, oh, I thought we just prayed. And it messes up the works. So if someone else has prayed a prayer of faith, we just are quiet and we're agreeing. Now, sometimes you might have something in addition to what was prayed that God revealed, that's fine. But as far as just repeating that prayer for healing, it's redundant, it's unnecessary, and it's inappropriate. So we just want to, if we're all listening to God when we're praying, then that's not going to happen anyway. Because we're going to know that was a prayer of faith and I'm hooking up with it. So just kind of a word of caution there. And then I will have the person, when they're receiving the prayer, just relax. Or when they're going to act on it even, to relax. Because most people, if they have been in pain, they're going to be cramped up. For example, if they couldn't lift the arm, and you want them to lift the arm, they're going to be tightening up and they're going to, I don't know, can I do it, can I do it, can I do it? They're going to be very concerned, they're going to be focused on the problem. So there too, I will have them focus on God and just relax. And while they're focusing on God, getting this big, big picture of our wonderful God, without thinking about it, just throw the arm in the air. And almost invariably, then they're fine. But if they're focused on the arm, it's, I don't know, can I? But again, the focus is wrong. Because what you think on is going to be magnified. And if they're thinking on the problem, it's going to be magnified. You're thinking on God, he's going to be magnified. You know yourself that if you have something that's taken place, maybe it was an insult. You think on it and think on it, it grows. So as you think on the problem, it's growing. So that's why I'll just have them relax, focus on God, and then they can do it. I had one woman that had a horrible limp. I don't know if hips were off or what was going on, but a really, really pronounced limp, a real dip in the walk. And I said, just relax. Focus on God. And while you're focusing on him, just begin to walk. So she did, and she walked about 10 feet, and all of a sudden she's back to this big limp. And I said, you focused on your hips, didn't you? And she said, yes. See, immediately she lost it because she focused back on the problem. Even though the problem wasn't there, well, she stayed focused on God and received. So part of the reason I'm saying some of these things is so you're able to help other people. Because obviously we're walking health, but our purpose is to be ministering to other people. We can receive that health. God wants that, but we are to be ministering to other people. And they're all around us. The need is all around us. Oh, and then as far as this, is it healed? You're not really having them test the healing. They're to be proving the healing. They're proving that God is faithful, that God is true, that he's faithful to his word. So as we're acting on it, we're proving that God is faithful. And sometimes you might need to help the person see themselves as healed. But that's where the teaching often comes in. Because most people, especially if it's been a long-term sickness, see themselves sick, see themselves with the problem. And so they have to be changing their thinking because it hinders their own faith otherwise. A couple of misconceptions as we go along here. A lot of people say, well, God doesn't always heal. Or my aunt so-and-so loved God, she wasn't healed, so God doesn't always heal. Well, all your friends probably aren't saved, and it doesn't mean God doesn't want everyone saved. He does want everyone healed. And that's where knowing what the word says is so important. And that you're not just coming to church and hearing it from pastor, but that you're doing your own study as well. That you are searching the scriptures and that you know that you know that you know. God wants us walking in health. And then, around all this, expect the power to flow. God's faithful to his word. The power is already in us, in the Holy Spirit. And when we're trusting God and at his leading, we are reaching out, the power will flow. Whether you feel it or not. You might, but you might not. Sometimes it seems like there's absolutely nothing there and the person starts jumping up and down. It's like, oh, good, I'm glad. but we have to expect it because it will flow. We have to know that because then we will pray confidently. We can't pray hesitantly. And then another thing that I often hear is, well, healings happen in other countries, but not here. Not true. It's the same God here as in Africa. And he loves us just the same. There is no difference on this planet. God's will is God's will. His promise is his promise. Do not have the mindset of, well, you see all these healings in other countries, but not here. I highly disagree. I have a bunch of different neighbors that have been healed out in the street. We're out talking. Oh, yeah, my back's been hurting. Pray for them. They're healed. They know. They come up to my house to get healing. You know, in my normal day-to-day, it is rare to have a day that someone's not healed. And I truly believe that that is what we're called to. Certainly. It's God's will. I do not doubt that. Good. It's what he wants. So even after you have prayed for the person, don't unhook. Maybe there's more, or maybe they said, well, it's a little bit better. Don't just think, oh, well, that's too bad, and walk away. The purpose of praying is to see the result. So if you have to pray again, that's fine. Jesus prayed twice for that one blind man. Maybe you have to pray three or four times. But usually what happens is after the first time they say, yeah, it's better. And the second time, yeah, it's better. Their faith is growing. They're making themselves essentially more ready to receive. And usually in cases like that, by the third or fourth time, they've got it. And often if it's like the fourth, sometimes third time, God will say, have them pray for themselves. And I might just lead them. I might just have them take authority and say, in the name of Jesus, you are completely healed, or whatever it might be, and then have them act on it. And that, it's always over then. It's done. There was one girl, a young girl, who was highly against healing. Highly against healing. And it took so much talk to try and convince her, and she still was not convinced. I prayed for her probably five or six times. She was in excruciating pain. They had canceled vacation. She was home from college, supposed to go back the next day. They thought it was kidney stones. It wasn't. Then they thought it was an intestinal issue. They had no idea what it was, but she could not stand up. I mean, she was bent over in pain. So I prayed for her and prayed for her. And again, don't be embarrassed about it. Don't think, oh no, what's happening? Just pray again. It's no big deal. Just pray again. The key is to get them healed. And all of a sudden she said, oh, now the pain's not all over. It's localized. Well, her face shot up. Now we were getting somewhere. And I prayed a couple of more times, and each time she said, it's less, it's less, until she went home totally pain-free. But see, there too, if I'd prayed once and she said, no difference, I'm done, and she goes home, what's been helped? Nothing. So just stick with them. And it, no, I won't say that. Expect them to be healed. That's another thing, because people will say, well, it's in God's timing. You can't say, because I expect it to be instantaneous. When I pray, I expect it to be totally complete immediately. It isn't every single time, but that's my expectation. And people will say, well, it's in God's timing, or you can't say, it's in God's hands. But God's timing was 2,000 years ago. We're not waiting on a healing or waiting on God. I think he's waiting on us. So it's not a matter of God's timing. And even the ones that think, well, this takes time. If, have any of you ever prayed for someone for deliverance of any demonic spirit? Okay, after you prayed for him, did you say, now hang in there, because this could take a month before you're free? Or if you have you led anyone to the Lord? Did you tell them, after they made their commitment to Christ, did you say, now it could be a year before you're actually saved, or 3 days? See, it's instantaneous. It's all part of the same gift. It's all part of the same salvation package. And that's why we don't have to expect healing to be an extended period or a waiting period, because we don't expect it with deliverance or salvation. It's now. So we can have it all right now. So don't get impatient. Don't lose your confidence if they're not instantly completely healed. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. Don't lose your confidence. Just pray again. It's no big deal. But be persistent. There was another lady. It was a Wednesday night after church. Everyone else had left, but I happened to be in the secretary's office talking to her. And someone called, a pastor's wife. She said, my blood pressure, I wrote it down, was 234 over 159. She felt like her head was lifting off. and she wanted prayer. I prayed for her maybe 3-4 times before it was gone. But see, if I'd stopped the first time, she would have been in the hospital. But by sticking with her and it getting better, 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 till she said, okay, it's good now. You see what I'm saying? So we don't get discouraged, we just stay with them. And you might need to do as Jesus did a couple of times, remove the unbelief from the room. Jesus, with Jairus' daughter, sent the unbelief out of the room. The one blind man he pulled outside of the multitude. Sometimes we need to do that. It can be difficult to do that. But again, listen, 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 and God will tell you what to do. Another thing that I used to think also is, God can heal, but will he heal me? That's a big thought for a lot of people. I used to be in extreme pain for 17 and a half years. I was bedridden almost completely for about 5 years. And the doctors had given me no hope of any kind of change. They said, this is your life. You'll spend your life in bed, never bear children. But look at Andrew here. Never bear children. See, you're benefiting from God's healing of me. You'll never hold down a job, never stand any length of time, never sit any length of time. This is your life. We're really sorry, but we can't give you any hope. We can't help at all. They'd done everything they could. And I thought, why would God heal me? Of all the millions of people, he would have no reason to choose me. Why would he heal me? And a lot of people think that way. Or they think I'm not worthy. Boy, that unworthiness can be literally a killer. Don't get into that. But they think, why would he heal me? But he wants everyone saved. He wants everyone healed. So don't let the people you're praying for think that way, because it hinders them from receiving. And people will say, well, it's a lot easier to pray for someone else than for yourself. I used to agree with them until God one day said, that's not true. It's the same promise, the same faith. You either believe or you don't. Oh, okay. Because we tend to think that way. I think often with ourselves, we just start taking authority. We're just jumping on it instead of pausing and listening to the Lord. Even when you're praying for yourself, listen to see how God wants you to respond. I used to get lots of migraines. And even now, one might come. And before I understood God's word on healing, if I would get those first symptoms, I'd think, oh, great, now the whole day's shot. And I'd try and get into the bedroom and to bed, fall asleep before I started throwing up. Then when I started understanding we don't have to deal with that, I ask God what to do. And sometimes it's more adamantly coming against it. Sometimes he'll say, just praise me. And in moments it's gone. Or he might say, just sing. I mean, it's different things. That's why we can't be in a pattern. No, it's just dealing with the issue. And it goes within minutes every single time. But the point is, we're not in a pattern of how we respond. And we tend to do that because we're working in the natural. If a certain pain keeps coming back, we respond the same way and we jump on it. Instead, these same principles, listen, listen, listen. How does God want you to deal with it this time? Because Jesus was doing nothing on his own. Only as the Father directed him. And just a tip, too, that we learned. If you're maybe praying for someone, bringing them back from the dead, or it's been a really big issue. We had a lot of issues with someone in our family. And every time we'd get a breakthrough, we'd back off. And, oh, finally, we have the victory. Or there was a man that had died, and we brought him back, I think, 4 times. But every time the doctor said, okay, he's living again. And we'd all relax and slack off. Next thing we knew, he died. So then we'd pour on the prayers. And my advice is, if there's been something really big like that, don't back off from your prayers. Because we tend to get the victory and then slack off, relax. But just keep it, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They stay this way. they stay on track, they stay healed, or whatever it is, that we're keeping that impressed, because we've found in different situations when we slack off, then bang, the enemy hits. So we just keep that up. And then pray with confidence. Faith is fully persuaded. So pray with confidence. I hear people too often, especially people who know the word, say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And it's through gritted teeth. And I'm thinking, you're not in faith. But they're saying they think they're in faith. So it's not a through gritted teeth thing. We're resting in the Lord and his truth. He has spoken. He has said, this is the way it is. This is the promise that we can walk in. And we rest in that. We're not fretting about it. We're not anxious, and it's not through gritted teeth. We're resting. It's very important that we're resting in him. And when we're praying, be it for healing or deliverance or anything else, we're not begging God. It's already been given. It's an inheritance. We don't have to beg for an inheritance in the natural. It's already ours. And he has passed. The inheritance is ours already. So we're not begging God. Sometimes we just need to stir ourselves up on what we know to be true. In fact, a lot of people, when they pray and they say amen, they're not expecting anything. But if you stir yourself up on who God is and what is really truth, he can't fail. He can't lie. His word says this, so why wouldn't we trust in him? And that's why at the beginning I said eyes off of self, because then we're trusting ourselves instead of him. But if we stir ourselves up on who he is, then we can pray with confidence and boldness. And when we see someone in the store that's limping or their arms are bound or whatever, we can boldly go over and address them and pray for him. And it's an exciting way to live. And it helps you stay more consistently connected. You're listening. You learn to listen. We're to walk in the Spirit, not just now and then touch base. We're to be walking in the Spirit. And that helps us. If we're keeping our eyes out, who needs ministry? Then we stay more connected with God. And then don't separate sin and sickness. Both have their source, their root in the devil. There are a lot of things that we say and think towards health that we would never think towards sin. For example, I wrote down a couple of thoughts. We wouldn't think, I feel a temptation coming on, so I'm going to sin. But we will say, I feel the flu coming on, I'm getting sick. You see what I'm saying? Or you don't call into work and say, I'm feeling a temptation, I'm going to be sinning tomorrow, so I won't be at work. But we will call and say, I'm feeling a cold coming on, I'm calling in sick for tomorrow. See, if you wouldn't say that same thing for sin or think it, don't think it for sickness, and you'll keep your doctrine straight. Because sin and sickness have their same root. They're both of the enemy. I hear people say, my allergies will flare up next month. But would you say, I will be sinning next month? If you'll keep your doctrine straight. Or if you say, everyone around me sinning, I'll sin next. I hear people say, everyone around me has the flu, I'll get the flu next. If you won't say that about sin, don't say it about sickness, because they're in the same category. It'll help you keep your doctrine straight. Sin's been dealt with, but we have the responsibility to keep it from us. Sickness has been dealt with. We have the responsibility to keep it from us. Amen? And we have to remember, too, especially when it's in our own physical body, we connect more with it than when it's with someone else's. We're not really fighting flesh and blood, even though it feels like it. Healing is spiritual. It's a spiritual issue. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we're not fighting flesh and blood. We think we are, because we're so carnally minded, when we have a pain in our body, that we're fighting that, the symptoms in the body. But it's really a spiritual issue, which is more a reason to be listening to God, our spiritual Father, who then tells us how to deal with the spiritual issue. And one of the things that I really don't like hearing is when people say, God's teaching me something with this. He's teaching me a lesson. But again, hopefully no one would say this, but you could then have the same thought of saying, or they'll say, God's having me keep this because I'm learning so much. People say that all the time. I'm so glad I had this sickness and went through it. I have learned so much, I wouldn't have missed it. But would you say, I am so thankful that I've been in this adulterous affair because I've learned so much from it, I wouldn't have missed it. See, we have to keep our doctrine straight. And if we'll keep our thinking straight, aligned with God's will and His word, and not get it mushy with these other things, our faith will be strong, we'll be confident, we'll be fully persuaded, and we will boldly go out and be praying for people. Because, like I said, the sick are all around you. The opportunities are there. We don't have to search far to find one. And then help them not focus on the sickness. And another thought, too, is a lot of times people wait until someone's dying before they go and pray for them. At that point, it's a lot harder. I've seen many, many people on the brink of death be totally healed. But you have to work a lot harder to get their thoughts changed, lined up with God's word, because they're already thinking grave. They've planned their funeral. The whole family's talking funeral. They've given up. Their mindset is, I'm out of here. So it's a lot easier when the person first gets the report of cancer, whatever it might be, to go minister to them then and there, or give them a week to kind of settle down or something. But don't wait until things are bad. It's just easier for the person. Plus, then they don't suffer as long. Why have them suffer before you set them free? So we need to know what God's will is. We have to understand what God really has said in His word about healing. We have to understand our authority, the importance of our thoughts, the importance of our words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. People can be prayed for healing, and you already know where I'm going with this. You have them move, and they're free, and the next thing they say is something about the sickness. It's like, we need to watch our words. Help people watch their words. If you're going to receive your healing, receive your healing. Wait until you are really strong in that healing, I guess I'll say, and then you can talk about it as a testimony. But it happens so often. Oh, the pain's gone. The doctor said the cancer's in my bones. Well, did you just get healed or not? And then I'll just end with a couple of other misconceptions or things that I hear is that people will say, well, I'm hurt. I hurt. I'm just being truthful. And God one time said to me when someone said, I'm just being truthful. I really hurt. He said, no, they're not. They're being factful. They are full of the facts and not the truth. Because natural facts are subject to change by the truth. Natural facts are temporary, but God's truth is firm, solid, and everlasting. So even though it could be a natural fact that there's something going on in the body, God's truth is they can be healed, and He wants them healed, not just He can. Or they'll say, I'm just saying it like it is. Well, that's not scriptural. We're not supposed to be calling what is. We're supposed to be calling what is not, so that it is. So even there, we can help people retrain their thinking. This is where all the teaching comes in, so that they're not thinking this way and not talking this way, because it hinders them from receiving. So my recommendation, obviously, is listen to God. It's His healing. It's His power. It's His desire. We are the delivery person. But even the UPS man does not know what's in the boxes. And we don't know what's inside. But God will reveal things to us that are really going to help the people. Like I said, maybe it's fear. You can set them free from that, even though they didn't mention it. But God can bring it up. And you can send people then on their way equipped for the next time they get sick or when someone around them is sick. Because when you're ministering healing, you're actually preparing and training them, if you'll take the time, to go pray for other people and to do the same thing, because we're all to be doing the works of Jesus. Amen? So So if it's okay with you, I'm happy to pray for people if anyone wants prayer. We already have a volunteer.